Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you this morning, and it is wonderful also to be celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. So, four Sundays to go before Advent. And I always kind of find it, the part that we'll be looking at today is from Matthew 21. It's about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And you know, it's quite interesting that as we kind of are talking about that today, how that is actually, we're entering the last week of Jesus' life, but simultaneously we're looking forward to celebrating his Christmas. So today we are going to look at this passage, and so let us just read together and just see what the word of the Lord has for us. And the theme for today is, who is this Jesus? It is one of the key questions that's being asked within our text for today. So let's read together. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Sorry, I need to just do that. Okay. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground. That was almost like an act of submission that they were doing. While others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And then I also would like to read for us just, you know, when we talk here about the prophecy that is being fulfilled here in Matthew, let's go back to where the prophecy was written in Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says there, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you righteously and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots of Ephraim and the war horses of Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from the sea and from the river to the ends of the world." So friends, we are here basically entering the last week of the life of Jesus, right? And as it starts, it basically starts with this very triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And about 5 days later, it ends with the crucifixion the following Friday. So this is really quite a lot of things that happened during this week. As I was preparing to kind of like speak today and just to bring God's word for you today, I was wondering by myself, now, why on earth would this piece be in here? What was the purpose of this particular account? Because it's really kind of like you would just imagine it, that Jesus was ministering and all of that happens. He has the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He exits Jerusalem, and a few days later he gets crucified. And you kind of go like, where does this fit? Why is this so important? And why is it so important that all four of the Gospels refer to it? So you've got Matthew, you've got Mark, you've got Luke, and you've got John. All four of them put emphasis on this particular passage. So it must have some significance. And the conclusion I came to is maybe, and the things I would like to unpack for us today is actually just two things, you know. The one is, I think it's all about the prophecy here. And for us to be able to know that the prophecy of the coming Messiah is true. And the second thing, I think the writers want us to understand something of the heart of the Messiah. The heart of this kingdom of God. You know, the very nature, the values that is being held here. I think in focusing on these two aspects, I believe that the writer is actually challenging each one of us today with a question. Are we truly willing to follow Jesus as our Messiah? Are we truly willing to follow Jesus as our Messiah? So let me just start over here, just giving a little bit of context. This is a bit of background. So at the time of this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the people of Israel were living under occupation already for hundreds of years. We are talking here about the Assyrians. We're talking about the Babylonians. We're talking about the Persians. And then the Hellenistic period started. And the Hasmonean period started until the Romans came. So they were an occupied people. They were kind of like almost like people in a prison. They couldn't do what they actually wanted to do, anything for themselves. So they were living under this massive sense of oppression. So in all honesty, the people of Israel, I think, were pretty fed up at this time, you know, for this occupation force that was telling them how to live their lives. But what helped the people of Israel at that stage to keep going, to focus daily, to have a sense of hope, was this prophecy that God will send the Messiah, and the Messiah will come. And so throughout the Old Testament, we see the glimpses of this, you know, and we also see the prophecies kind of as it's foretelling. It was foretelling the birth of Christ. It was foretelling this coming Messiah. And Zechariah, actually, the verse that we've just read, is one such prophetic voice that clearly describes to people what this Messiah is all about. Jerusalem, of course, was at that stage the epicenter of religious life in the land, and also the epicenter of this messianic kind of like expectation. This is the place where the people of Israel were living side by side to the Roman occupiers on a daily basis. They were rubbing up against one another, and they were trying to see how to live together in this. But before I go further, let me just show you a quick map. So just to say that when you kind of think about Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem is a city that is built on a mountain. You know, so on the one side, you've got the mountain. Say this is the mountain with my one hand here. On the other side, you've got the Mount of Olives. And between the two, they go into a valley called the valley, the Kidron Valley is between that. So when you kind of look at the triumphal entry, it starts here in Bethany. It goes to Bethage. Now, from here, this is where the donkeys were picked up. And then as he was coming down the Mount of Olives, people in Jerusalem can see this procession coming because it's you can see through the valley, right? It's quite close, that valley. And so then you go up to the city of Jerusalem and you enter this gate. And so the one way you can go is to the Fort Antonio at the top, or you could go right into the center court of the temple. So this is the road we're talking about. Now, very interesting, today, this entrance here, this gate of Jerusalem is actually blocked up. And so maybe at one stage we can focus on why is this thing blocked up. But today there's also a lot of graveyards in this area here on the side of the Mount of Olives, but they are built because remember that Jewish people don't believe that the Messiah has yet come. They are still waiting for this coming of the Messiah. So they're building their graves facing the Mount, the Table Mount, so that they can see the Messiah coming. Can you see that fervent expectation that was in that particular point in time? So this village, Bethage, was about a mile from Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. So here we have a growing expectation. In the preceding years of Jesus' ministry, many times the question would come, is he the Messiah? The people saw the miracles. They saw him just teaching the word of God. They saw him raising people from the death. They saw him multiplying bread. They saw all of it. It was on display for 3 years. You would think surely the people should have clued into the fact that he is the Messiah. But still, this was a lingering thought in their own mind. So with this triumphal entry, for the very first time, Jesus is, through his words and through his deeds, he is clearly declaring, I am the Messiah. But let's focus a little bit just on the prophecy. So we talked about the prophecy and the nature, right? That's the two things we're focusing on. So it all really starts with a donkey. Initially, I thought that maybe today's talk will be called the Messiah, the donkey, and us, you know. But I thought maybe that's a bit naff, you know. So I'll stick with what I've chosen here. But it's all about the donkey. And if you ever want to do a good word study through the Bible, look at the instances where the donkey was present, with the inauguration of kings and, you know, Mary being on a donkey. What is the significance of this? So let's start with that. The first time that the prophecy gets fulfilled is when the donkey was untied, because the word of Zechariah 400-500 years before became true. It was fulfilled. So we read that in verse 2 and 3. The people of that day knew the Zechariah messianic prophecy. They knew, they recalled it for one another to give one another hope. They were retelling it to their children. They were singing songs about it. They were writing poetry about it. But let's see how they respond here. Jesus said, go to the village ahead, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. So two things here. One is the prophecy noted in Zechariah immediately fulfilled, because the donkey came basically and Jesus was going to ride in on the donkey. The second thing is Jesus refers to himself as Lord. He is saying to them, I am the Eternal One. I am the one that was and is to come, in the song that we've just sung. In quoting Zechariah, Matthew wanted us to be sure that we understand that Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is King. He is Messiah. He's Lord. He's Savior. So when Jesus basically turned his face to Jerusalem on that mountain as he was going down into the mountain, basically history unfolded before them. All the prophecies that the people were knew by heart, all the stories that they've been telling, all of it were just becoming true in front of their eyes. And their immediate response was to say, Hosanna to the king. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the prophecy is fulfilled. He is the Davidic messianic king. Your king is coming to you. But there was a reality dawning. And this reality is talking about what is Jesus like? What is this messianic kingdom look like? The donkey did not only represent the fulfillment of this prophecy, it also signaled and symbolized much more. It was the symbol of peace. And we see that when kings would go before on a donkey, they would symbolize that they are bringing peace, not the war. It was a symbol of humility. It was a symbol of servanthood. It revealed the very heart, the very nature of the Messiah. And with this act of the entry into Jerusalem, with the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus inaugurated for us the era of salvation. And friends, we live in the era of salvation, because we are still looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. This is the time when Jesus saves his people, when he draws each one of us to himself and declares him king of our lives. Yet the people of that day, they missed it. They did not see the donkey. They saw a war horse. They were so desperate to wanted freedom that they wanted to hold on to that idea. They so desperately wanted liberation from the Romans. They did not want salvation. So their Hosanna, when they were shouting the word Hosanna, they were actually saying, liberate us from this oppression that is before us. But Jesus was coming not to liberate them from the Romans. If he had wanted to fight, he would have come on a war horse, as we read in Revelation very clearly with the second coming when he comes as a judge of the earth. He came on a lowly donkey. So we receive, and the people of that day received the biggest shock of their lives. They were waiting for this Messiah, yet the Messiah is not what they expected. And friends, I wanted to show you this because this very clearly led. They went from the sign of Hosanna to the Son of David. They went to crucify him within 4 days. You could see how this disappointment, this anger just kind of like overflowed and it became crucify him. Zechariah, and so this was no surprise. Zechariah was so clear that the Messiah will bring peace. And they missed that. And it says there, I will take away the chariots of Ephraim, the war horses of Jerusalem. The battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from the rivers, from the sea to the sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. It was about salvation, not liberation. Jesus came, and we read that in Luke 19. He came and he said, I came to seek and save the lost. All of his ministry that he was doing during the preceding 3 years that he was with the people all spoke about that. I came to seek and save the lost. As some of you know that, you know, I work in the Middle East, in the Muslim Arab world. Friends, this is one of the biggest challenges for Muslims to believe in Christ. This is the spiritual battleground. They would always say, how can it be that the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God, how can it be that he would be humiliated and killed? How can it be? This is one of those things that is just incomprehensible for them. But we are also challenged with the same question today, right? It is not about liberation. It is about salvation. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is calling each one of us to live deeply in fellowship with him. He is calling us to follow him, to be like him, to be his ambassadors in this world, to be his emissaries of peace in this world. But what about us? Today, sometimes I feel like, you know, on a Sunday, and I'm just talking about myself, and, you know, sometimes you feel like on a Sunday I'm singing Hosanna to the King of Kings. But on the Monday, you kind of like feel like I live without, as if I have no faith. I live as if I've got no calling or no purpose. I'm just merely surviving the grunt of life. And so, friends, I think each one of us are confronted with the same question. Similarly, the people of Israel of the day also were challenged with this question: who is Jesus? And are we really prepared to follow him? Jesus, when I kind of think about a character, I always think he was so clear in his purpose, really focused. And the question for us today is, is our purpose in this world clear? Are we prepared to embrace his purposes, his agenda, and live according to his will? And then think about the journey that he was on. Many times he would say, now is not the time, when the people wanted to declare him king. And he would say, no, not the time now. Are we prepared to follow Jesus no matter what the cost? Are we prepared for our whole life to be shaped by Jesus? The kingdom of God is very different from this world. It is about humility. It's about love. It is about dying to self, to live sacrificial lives. It is about his name. It's about his agenda, his purposes. And as we come to a close today, why not just take some time to recommit yourself to the Lord in the beginning of this Advent season? And maybe say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you with all of my heart. Maybe just think about one area in your life where you can say, but Lord, I just want to bring this area that I've been holding on to for so long. I just want to put that at your feet as well. Will you be king of this part of my life? I want to end by just reading to you something that a colleague, friend wrote some time ago. And it really just reflects on her personal understanding of just walking with Jesus. This person is serving overseas, so you'll see the context that it's coming out of. And she wrote this. She said, I say to God, I want to follow you wherever you go. Please take me with you. I experience God saying to me, I don't always walk in beautiful places. I walk between the Palestinians and their suicide bombs. I sit between the women in Afghanistan who beg for a living from behind a veil. I walk in the refugee camps of Darfur, where journalists and aid workers simply cannot go. I walk in the ghastly corridors of Mauritania and the Vietnamese jails. I look with compassion at the prostitutes of London and Bangkok. I walk in the slums of Kolkata. I hear the cries of child soldiers and slaves in Africa. My heart breaks for the aged and the lonely. Suddenly, I realize that it's really difficult to follow Jesus. What is Jesus asking of you today?